Ooh, bitch, you ain't shit.
Hey y'all, I'm Queen Chickenhead.
And I'm Breezy the Gent.
And we are the You Ain't Shit Podcast. I'm cracking.
We are remote, but we are the You Ain't Shit Podcast. The shit keeps rolling. Yes. And thank you.
I'm cracking.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys always and forever.
Yes, yes, yes. Breezy, how was your Christmas? Your holiday?
Because I was going to say, first of all, what type of like Americanized shit is that to even ask me how my Christmas was? How do you know I celebrate Christmas?
Because we talk.
Kwanzaa was the next day. How about I celebrate a day?
Well, and I'm still celebrating right now. I said holiday. I did change it.
Holiday.
I know, and I did change it to holiday.
I'm not celebrating Kwanzaa, but if I was, you wouldn't fucking know.
I'm making a big fuss. You know what? You're right. I wouldn't know because you do not publicly celebrate it.
The thing is, I do want to though. Like, I want to switch over. I want to like fuck Christmas. I just want to celebrate Kwanzaa. Honestly, I thought that like 2 years ago, but then never started practicing it. So maybe next year, because I miss day one here to actually get up on it. But my elementary school, they instilled it in Kwanzaa in us. That's the perks of going to a hood black high school or hood black elementary school. We would stand in the hallway and instead of saying, no, we still said the Pledge of Allegiance. I think that was like mandatory. But we also said the Black National Anthem. We sang that every morning. We held hands and sang the days of Kwanzaa. So it was instilled in me when I was younger. I just never practiced it. And I do want to practice it. Christmas is a sham.
No, I get that.
But how was my Christmas? Because I didn't answer that yet. It was another day. Just to sum that up. It was really just another day. Honestly, I don't really... Until my girlfriend... I wasn't really doing anything for any holiday and not even like thinking twice about it. But now I'm at least thinking twice about it because I feel like she be wanting to do stuff and she's used to the family shit. But the family gatherings and the Christmas joy and the holiday joy, that went out the window for me when I was like 11, 12. So
okay,
that not a big deal at any point. It's only a big deal because I'm in a relationship, to be honest with you.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, unless you're trying. Naturally, yeah, Christmas. Yeah. No, it's okay.
I mean, I came into the relationship admittedly not doing anything, not giving a F about holidays, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put in some effort. I do try to do stuff, make it in the spirit, give gifts or whatever, but I wasn't even that. Like, I don't usually give gifts. I don't do nothing. I don't usually get gifts either, so that's a whole other thing. Moving on. How was your Christmas?
So my Christmas this year was actually just another day, and I'm usually big on, I think I'm big on Christmas because my mom is really big on Christmas. Like, she just enjoys seeing, she just enjoys decorating. That's her main thing. And ever since I moved out of my mom's house, it's just been like, it's not the same because then I don't get into the whole decorations are expensive. Oh my goodness. But
when you live alone.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like on your own.
Very true. Oh my goodness. So, but no, Christmas this year was actually just another day because I had to work 12 hours and I was not happy about it. Because people who do not live in the city wanted to have power outage because of that little storm we had the night before. Like, please. Y'all wouldn't have these issues if you didn't live in a city. You wouldn't have these issues if you lived in a city, so I was irritated.
So you just wish they live in the city that bad, so you didn't have to do your job.
Yep. I didn't have to do my job on a holiday that I was supposed to be off.
Well, they better be giving you a time and a half, or double time, or whatever it is.
I don't care. Okay. No, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not worth my sanity. It's not. Sorry. Like people say, all money ain't good money. That's not good money for me. Because they were stressing me out. They were calling me the Grinch and everything, and I could not say anything back. So that's not good money for me. It's not good money for me. I'm not going to let you sit here and call me all types of names just because your power is out because you live in the suburbs around a whole bunch of trees. No, I don't care. Yeah. But, that's, yeah.
Calling you a Grinch, like, that's...
They were calling all of us Grinches, like, and we were all talking about
American
it.
Shit. Like, that's so weird to even think that somebody even has to be happy about Christmas. Like, why do I have to be all jolly and excited because Christmas is here? Get out of my face. Like,
right. Please.
It's not, that doesn't make me a Grinch. I just, like, y'all just stuck in this Christmas thing, and I don't get it.
Exactly. And it was crazy because there were probably a handful of people between all of us that were working on Christmas that sat there and told us they were sort like, they didn't care about the power. They didn't. They were sorry that we had to work on Christmas, and they were thankful for us. It was people that called in that never called in about the outage that were calling to be like and just say thank you for turning our power back on, and thank you for working on Christmas. I appreciated those people, but the ones that called me on my name, I remember those addresses. I remember
not remember those addresses.
My nephew and niece who I bought their gifts for, and they actually came on time. They were happy. Everybody else's gifts are just stuck in transit somewhere, so I'm not even stressed. Even the gifts I bought for myself, stuck in transit. So
that's USPS for you. I told you, like, it scared me. Like, I didn't know who it was that had my package. This nigga walked up in an olive parka. What the fuck? When did they start letting them wear any color that's not navy blue and gray?
They've been letting them do that. Especially if they're new or if they're doing overtime, they usually don't always have to wear their uniform. But if they're new, they won't even have a uniform to start out with most times, because USPS is a government entity, so you know, not that much funding.
I used to work for USPS, fun fact. That was one of my many jobs. I was a mail woman for like a month. I was delivering mail in Roxborough. What's over there? It starts with an R, I think. I'm making this shit up. I haven't been up there. No, I lied. Not Roxborough at all. Maniunk.
It started with an R. Maniac doesn't even have an R in it. At all.
Starts with an R, ends with Maniac. That's the end. That's it.
I'm cricket.
No, because there's a neighborhood with an R next to it. Either way, Maniac.
Yeah, Maniac is right next to Roxborough.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what it is. I wasn't tripping. See, I knew.
You were mixing it. Now I see why you only lasted a month, because you do not know the geographical.
Because I was crossing the border too much. The address was looking like I'm in Roxborough. I meant to be in Maniac. I ain't know. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, no, that was the time. But moving on.
Yeah.
You still waiting on packages. USPS is ass, and this nigga had on.
Well, Yeah, I don't blame them, though. My sister works for the post office, so I don't blame them. It's not their fault. So.
No, it's never the little man's fault. Like, not at any point in any corporation. If something went down at your job, it would never be your fault. Like, not ever. Not something global where everyone is mad about it, and it's just... The little man, that's never their fault.
America have a very weird thing of blaming, even though it's not the little man's fault, of still putting our anger and frustrations out on a little man just because they can't get to the big man. That's not our problem. We in America have to do better. Y'all have to find ways to contact these people in higher places and stop taking your frustrations out on the little people.
Right. I had some lady, just says like, what it is. In my ear out yesterday. I didn't. With me, like... I just listen. Okay. When people start to like snap and stuff like that, it's like not much you can do but listen to them. And even saying I understand, depending on the circumstances, can seem like you're being patronizing. So I don't want to say that so many times. This lady was just yelling. It's just like, how could you? And we've been waiting for 6 weeks. This has been before Thanksgiving and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Sorry this happening. Sorry for the experience. Right. And just listen to her talk. But okay, you gonna yell. You need to get that out. I realize that people need to get that out. So that's what taking it out on the little man is. They just need to get it out somewhere, which it's still bullshit, but go ahead, take your frustrations out or whatever. I'm going to hang up this phone and forget about you after the phone call. So there's that.
Right.
Forget what the problem was already. I don't even know what she was yelling about. I just know that she yelled at me.
Yeah. But anyway, on to other things in life, because we can go on and on about these people.
Right.
And how entitled they feel that they can really just snap on any and everyone, call us out our names, even though they need our help. So, yeah. Right.
I know, people are weird.
Very. So,
looking forward to New Year?
New Year's another day for me.
Okay.
I get it, you know, it's a new year, but what really changes besides the date? Exactly. So, I'm just like, So, New Year's just another day.
New stuff. New stuff coming to Netflix.
No, but then they're taking The Office off in January, so I'm not happy about it.
Never watched that in my life, so you know, I'm not gonna miss
it. I'm sorry to hear that. That's your fault. I'm sorry to hear that. You're missing out on life.
I feel bad. I don't feel bad, not even a little bit.
That's okay. Shout out to Kendra, because me and her were talking about it recently and we were not happy.
Oh.
We were not happy.
Coming to America is coming out next year.
I don't care.
That's
about
something
that.
To look forward to. Oh, all right, my bad.
Coming to America 2 looks disgusting.
Does it? I didn't.
And Coming to
it.
America is one of my favorite movies.
Didn't
Coming to America 2
at all.
I did not, but I've seen pictures of what they're doing. It just looks disgusting.
I'm excited that Eddie Murphy is still a part of it. That's what makes me excited.
It was his movie. They can't make a Coming to America 2 without Eddie Murphy.
No, that's a lie.
It's unheard
they
of.
Say that they can't, but people.
It's unheard
do,
of.
People
it's
do unheard of shit all the time.
It was Eddie Murphy's movie. You can't make an Eddie Murphy movie without him.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Sorry.
Hollywood does weird shit like that.
Yeah. Okay. Hollywood would get a cease and desist letter quick from that man. They would. Moving on. Oh, man.
I was looking at the movies that were coming out next year.
I really... It's just like... I think I'm excited that most of them... Like, is it... Who was it? Is it Warner Brothers that's putting all their movies on HBO Max? All the
Somebody's
movies are supposed to come
on
out.
HBO Max, because Wonder Woman just came out.
It's Warner Brothers. Okay. So pretty much DC. So yeah, I'm actually excited about that. I'm like, at least y'all are, you know, giving us what we want. Did you ever watch Boogeyman? Is that what it is? Is that the movie?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think that's the movie. So, you know, that was supposed to come out in 2021, and they're pushing it back until the movie theaters can open back up because they want people to have the in-theater experience. And I'm just like, seriously?
No.
I'm like, really?
I don't ever want
I don't
to
even think
experience again.
And I'm like, I don't even think... They are really banking on this movie to really make a lot of money. I'm like, I don't think it's really going to make anything.
Is it a remake?
Yes.
The original? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, no, it's going to be ass.
See, it didn't look ass to me. It looked
that was
it
good.
It was kind of... Except what?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. When they did that again. That was a good remake.
I hate those movies.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the only horror movie that scared me. The original one, not the remake. But the remake was real good.
Yeah. But I just want to know, like, what do they really think this movie is going to make that they need an in-theater experience? Like, people have in-home theaters. Like, just let us watch the movie at home.
Listen, people definitely got the whole sound systems, even got 3D TVs, if y'all
right.
want to bring out.
Man, I got a sound bar. Let me watch it at home. Please. Let me not risk my life.
I'm not excited about that. And I think that at this point, I don't want to like put myself in some absolute situation where 5 years later, y'all catch me in a movie theater.
Yeah, no.
But I really, I don't like the idea. I don't think I ever want to go back to a movie theater. Like, even when they do open, I'm not trusting anything. I don't know what's going on because people is just coughing and I can't get up and go nowhere.
No, that is hilarious.
People eating their snacks with their mouth open. Unless we all getting tested up in that bitch before we go watch the movie, then it ain't happening. I'm not going.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, no, thank you.
Let's do a little foreplay.
I was reading up on a few things. Not a lot of celebrity shit going on because COVID. Like, people just making up news now at this point. But there is a vaccine going around. How do you feel about the vaccine? And do you think you would get it?
Not going to take it, not going to get it, only because there is a high chance you can still get sick from this vaccine because the vaccine is nothing but the virus itself.
Right.
Also, there is another strain of COVID going around currently in the UK, and they just found the same strain in Colorado. Right. And with that strain, it's more contagious as well. It's more contagious, but the symptoms aren't as bad. But that still does not soothe me or make me feel easier at all. So, no. And then this vaccine is only the first. Like, we don't know how this vaccine really is going to affect people. And all they did was give it to like the first round of people, and now all of a sudden in January it's going to be available to more. No, I don't like that. Mm-mm. Y'all don't even know how these people are going to react. Y'all only gave them the first round. There's two separate rounds to this vaccine. Y'all only gave them the first round.
Right.
Y'all don't know how they're going to react to the second round. So I don't.
Did you see that it's been given some people? It's not hella cases, or at least that they're telling us about. But some people ended up getting Bell's palsy.
I did see that, but I didn't know how true that was.
It's true.
It is.
It's not like hella people. Like, at first, when you look at it on social media, you would think it's happening to more people than it is, but it's not. They, it was 44,000 participants, and about 4 of them got Bell's palsy. So it's not.
I still don't like that.
Yeah, no. The fact that it's even an option or.
Right. Like, even one person getting it is still too much for me.
It's less than 1%, but that's still...
That does not suit me at all. I'm sorry.
Not when I saw Sis' face with the Bell's palsy.
Exactly.
First of all, I'm trifling, but I'm not that trifling. Because when it first came out, I'm like, you know what? Not for real, for real. Because at the end of the day, I'm not taking the shit. I'm also not taking that. That's my opinion. But like, what if I did... Just so, you know, 10 years later when what the fuck is that? Was a class action suit? I can become a millionaire.
Oh, Jesus.
Get my $1 million that way. Yes, I was one of them people that got the vaccine. I had a side effect. I need my money.
Same. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not worth my health.
It's not worth Bell's palsy.
And I don't care how vain I am. It's not worth my health or my physical appearance. I'm sorry.
That was what made me like get that joke out of my head real quick. Like, it wasn't even funny no more. Seeing that woman actually have Bell's palsy and seeing
exactly
how she was really, really like upset about it. It's just like, I don't want to lose my smile. I don't want to lose
exactly.
My face. I'm not risking that just so I can be a part of some little class action suit. But
and
people really thinking that.
And that's the thing. And it's like, and people will swear up and down, I don't care about what people think of me. I don't care about what society thinks or thinks I look like. Yeah, you will once you have a deformity like that.
Hell yeah.
Because you can't change it.
Right.
You cannot
like,
change it.
How much money you got, you're not about to change it with no surgeries, no special fucking medicine. It's not happening. You're going to have Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's what I'm saying. So you just got to put yourself in other people's shoes. And like I said, it's not worth my sanity. Because then people start developing internal issues. Like, it's not worth my sanity. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm just gonna, you know, take my chances. Continue to up my immunity strength and keep pushing.
Yeah, this vaccine sounds whack. Honestly, I don't remember the history of the flu shot to say that, oh, I got it when it first came out, because I'm almost sure I did not. But I do know that my parents are one of those parents that was okay with the flu shot. I got the flu shot when I was coming up. But this is too fresh, man. Like, catch me the second or third attempt at getting this shit right.
It's then too fresh, and we still don't know. No one in the world really knows anything or everything about this virus. No one in this world, besides the person who made it, no one really knows.
Right. I think this vaccine shit is just to, like, soothe people's minds. They came out with it so quick. Like, this was the quick solvent. We just gonna make a vaccine. But then the weird part about it was this is supposed to be the quick solvent. There are billions of people in the world, and I don't even think there's a million, not even 1 million things. Like, I don't think it's gonna be 1 million tests. It's gonna be like hundreds of thousands, but not millions that I read, which is like nowhere near enough. So we got vaccines that less than half of the population is gonna get, and then what?
And I also, like, with the vaccine, does that now make you immune to the virus? Like, do we know that?
That's what it's supposed to do. That's the point.
Is that the actual fact of this vaccine?
Is that the fact of the flu shot? Is that the fact of condoms? Is that the fact of birth control? Is that the fact of anything that they give us? No, it isn't. Exactly. It is not. And not one of those things that I listed has a 100% chance of doing what they're supposed to do.
And you know, with those three things, mama don't take nor use. So
I've never done the birth control thing, but that's just because I think just because it was abnormal, because my mom was into that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would have been an advocate for me doing that had she known that I was having sex when I was.
Yeah.
But I was lying about it for a long time, so. For a very long time. Like, I went, like, a good 6 years before my mom knew.
No, that's funny.
Five.
Oh, my goodness. But nonetheless, this vaccine, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of, and I want more research and stuff done as far as the virus goes before I even consider taking a vaccine that was just made within, like, what, 3 months? No,
right.
Sorry. Mm-mm. That's not enough time for me. Because y'all did this vaccine, but y'all made this vaccine in 3 months, but we've had diseases and things of that nature for years, and we still have not figured out.
That's what I'm saying. That was the point I was trying to make is that they came up with this vaccine so quick. Just for what? For what?
Right.
Like, this was some political move as to coming out with, like, I'm sure there were people that were inside of this, like, at a lower level working on the vaccine and feeling like they really believe in the cause and they're helping people. And yeah. I'm sure vaccine is going to help some people, but yeah, no, I'm not going to be one of those people that we're going to figure out whether or not it's going to help.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll just continue to stay safe. And if I travel, then I'm okay with getting tested to see whether or not I have it. But to get vaccinated, I don't know, man. But another thing I was thinking on this, do you think that with this vaccine, eventually, they're going to make this a mandate? Can they?
I don't know.
Like, at least a mandate in some condition. Like, not a mandate to period. But like, if you want to go to a different state or if you want to go to a different country, you're mandated to have a vaccine before you leave, before you go, before you arrive.
I don't think that they could, because states have that control, but the government does not. Right. The states can, because once the government told each state that it's up to them how they wanted to do shutdowns and everything, the government lost their authority.
Right.
As far as COVID-19 goes. So no, the government cannot mandate this. States, on the other hand, possibly could, but I think I'm not really privy on all of the Constitution. I think that goes against our rights as a U.S. citizens.
So I see where you're going.
Yeah, so I don't. Yeah, mm-mm. Because then remember they can't mandate this because there are also anti-vaxxers. There are such things as anti-vaxxers in this country, and they are able to. If anti-vaxxers can still send their kids to certain places and certain education, like schools and things of that nature, then no, they cannot mandate this COVID-19 vaccine.
First of all, I had to Google it. Who knew that there was a term for people who were against vaccines?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here. Exit. Bye.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Oh, man. Okay. White people. You know what? I'm not going to say the wrong
thing. No, I'm about to say it's not even just them.
I'm not going to say the wrong thing, right?
Even just them. So.
Man, anti-vaxxers. With X's, though. Like, what, mm-hmm. y'all? Y'all trying to make it cool? Get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, so I don't think they truly can mandate this. It is, again, against our rights that we are privileged to in U.S. So, thanks, meanwhile, Constitution.
Of our rights. I got a right to get this stimulus. The fuck?
That's another topic, because, listen, here, that $600 is cute. But once that $2,000 got put into my head, that's all I want. That's all I see. So y'all can still send me that $600.
It's majority of Americans probably feeling
the same. Yeah. Mm-mm. Don't let y'all don't let that man put $2,000 in our head. So now we want that too.
Right.
And that's all I. But I saw that the $600 is supposed to be hitting, our accounts sooner than later. While they're still trying to decide on the 2,000,
the rest of the no, that's not what I'm understanding it as. I don't think they're gonna give a 600 and 2,000. They're trying to decide one or the other. The Republican House approved the 2,000, but they still got to get past the Democratic House and then some other bigger thing to say, yeah, y'all can get that 2,000. So it still ain't even approved yet. So we wouldn't get...
So what I saw on CNBC... Is it CNBC or CS? One of them things. There's too many letters. yeah, they did say the 600 was approved. The 600 was supposed to be hitting sooner than later. They said last night. It did not hit my account last night because I usually am one of the first ones to get it. Right. So who knows? All I know is I better be getting... 600 or 2,000 in my account within the next 2 weeks. That's all I know, because it's long overdue.
Yeah,
long overdue.
It's too much to think about to say that they've been doing what they can, because have they?
No, not at all. Not at all. They sat there and let over 300,000 U.S. citizens died before, not even before, because they really, really didn't do anything after they saw that number. So
this is what it is. I'm reading now. So it's between 600 or 2,000. They have to approve one or the other. The 600, that was like what we were going to get. And then Donald Trump was trying to put an executive order out for it to go higher than that. So if we get 600, we're not getting 2,000. If we get 2,000, we're not getting 600. But they're trying to figure out if they increase it to 2,000, that means the whole bill would be increased by $385 billion just to pay those $2,000 out. So that's what the reluctance is in trying to put it up to $2,000 from $600. This is news as of yesterday. Yep, this is from CBS News from yesterday night.
Well, I'm saying either way, that's not even enough of enough money for from the $1,200 we received in what, May?
Right.
April, May. $2,000 is the least they can do.
They should have been giving us $1,200 a month since then, but okay, cool. I guess they did that for the people.
But we have dummies that are taking care of this country that have no sense of money management, so there's that.
Just a quickie. So I was having a conversation with one of my friends recently, and it brought to my attention that maybe this isn't as common as I thought it was or believed that it should be. But apparently not all women get to have an orgasm before they actually have intercourse with a man. This is just talking straight sex, not gay sex. We know better.
Do y'all? I mean,
yes.
You sure?
Absolutely sure.
Are you speaking for all?
I can't speak for all. I'm speaking for myself. I can speak for myself. Because I do know some that don't even know how to do what you think we all know how to do. So that's a whole nother subject. Speaking personally, I thought that was, and not even to involve anybody else in it, that used to be a routine for me. When I'm by myself.
Okay.
I would have to play DJ Hero first. and then go ahead for the kill.
That just been a bad thought in my mind, because I used to have the DJ Hero game.
Me too. That's why I started calling it that.
All I pictured was the actual game. Oh my God.
Vicky. But anyway. So we play a little DJ Hero first, and then you go in for the kill. That was always how I just alone. And so from how I felt alone, I knew that most women would probably like that too. So that was how I performed.
Yeah, and naturally you would be right, because you are a woman. So
right.
Most
I know
times.
How I felt when I was
right. So,
that was a norm for me, but I guess I wasn't in people's bedrooms like I thought I was to know that that's not a norm for everybody.
So it really, okay, so I can honestly say it's a norm for me, but it's only a norm for me because I'm used to dating older men. And with older men, not all, but the ones I've been privileged to deal with or whatever, or they've been privileged to deal with me. they were experienced. So they've taught me things. Shoot, they've even taught me things about my body that I didn't know.
Right.
I can say with the partner I have now, I always orgasm before. It's like he makes sure that I get all of mine off before he gets his one off.
That's good. And that's the way it should be. It just made me think, because we're kind of vague, which is okay, because it can be vague anyway, as long as you're getting it off. But this conversation was specifically getting eaten out until you come first.
Yes.
Okay.
And again,
it is specific.
No, but when you first brought the question up when we were speaking about it off,
that's what you thought.
Yeah, off record, you mentioned before he sticks his dick in, and I'm like, yes, I always...
There's a way to have an orgasm without a mouth or a dick. What are we talking about? All right, I'm move on. That's not the conversation we have in.
Listen, I don't not want yet. Your fingers... No, I'm sorry. I don't want your fingers. I have a thing about fingers.
Fingers where, though? You still don't even know where. What are we talking about? For you to have orgasm.
I don't want your fingers in me. That's nasty.
It don't have to be.
I know it doesn't have to be, but I'm very particular about what I do and don't allow. So,
I don't like being fingered at all. Like, that's, I don't do it to myself, and I don't want anybody to do it to me. If I ever did it, it was because I was trying to be sexy on camera. Not that I ever cared
about it. Hollering.
Honestly, that's the 100% honest truth. If I ever did it, it was just because I was trying to be sexy in front of somebody else. I am not interested in putting my fingers inside of myself or anybody else doing that for me. I don't like it.
But yeah, by the way, I've experienced orgasms in different ways, and it's always been before the actual penetration portion.
And that's the way to go. That's a real experience, I feel like. When I had that conversation with my friend, like, I was honestly shocked. And it's like, you've been friends with me this whole time. Why haven't we had this conversation so you can learn about yourself?
I feel like there's so many women that actually experience that, and either they just don't talk about it, or maybe they just don't know.
Right, you know? That could be one of the things, because the way the conversation went, it seemed like she didn't know that was something that, you know, happens.
Yeah. Oh, period. Man.
Like, she just didn't know. She was like, is that a thing? I'm like, oh, I guess not for you, child.
See, I don't like that. But then so what comes to mind is, like, have conversations with your friends as well about sex. But then I don't want you to have these conversations with your friends and then think either you're doing something wrong or you just haven't been experiencing a lot. You've probably been experiencing a lot, just not enough to make your body feel a certain way or to, like, pleasure you even more. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah.
Like, I don't know what people's ideas or thoughts about it are before they have it, but... I don't know. It's not just an easy in and out, and that's just all it's supposed to be.
Right. I mean, unless it's really just that, but I can't even say just that. I'm like, I've even had, like, one night stands where it's still been everything under the sun. But, yeah. Maybe experiencing your body more.
That's the number one thing, and I think that was a good thing to bring up, and that was the reason I brought that example up first, because it's not about anybody else, it's about experiencing yourself to understand that that's something that you do like, so you would know that that is something you would want to happen, instead of, like, supposed to happen, or thinking whether or not it's going to happen, you would already know what you wanted, because you know how you felt.
Agreed. I absolutely 100% agree.
It definitely comes down to, honestly, women and men exploring themselves by themselves. I think a lot of men don't really do much more than the regular, like, just the regular. Like, there's so many other things that men can be exploring, but they just do the regular shit, and that's why they come to us with the regular shit, because all they know is the stroke and feel.
Now, I will bring this up. No one says... that each person you have sex with. Now, some sexual interactions don't have to be as intimate or, you know, pulling all the stops for. But I don't agree with that, because there are some interactions and some people that you either may not want to give that experience to, or may not want to have that experience with. Because, again, sex is still intimate.
Experience with them?
Sex, at the end of the day, is still intimate. I mean, shit, some people just be horny.
Okay. And that's where, just be horny. I guess, another way that we see sex differently, because for it just to be intercourse, that don't even sound right to me. That sounds weird. It's weird. It's weird as fuck to just have intercourse and that's all you're doing to have sex. I don't like it. That sounds weird. If that's all you're doing.
But you also, you also don't think of sex the same way I do. Like, I put a lot of thought into who and who I don't. Not saying you don't, but oh my God, you mentioned before that you don't view sex.
It's not a big deal.
What did you say? See? And that's what I'm saying. You not viewing sex as a big deal. And then you're saying that, and then you're saying what I just stated.
But it's not a big deal.
But you're saying what I just stated about not having that experience with everyone is just.
I'm not agreeing with that. I have that.
But you just stated that sex is not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, but.
But
I guess in the, to explain what I'm meaning there is that it's not a big deal. So why put all that thought into, oh, I'm not going to pull out the stops. Do everything you're capable of because you might not ever have sex with them again.
Good.
That's my
thought. Why am I, giving up? No. No.
And that's two different thought processes. Still,
why am I giving y'all all wild?
It doesn't mean a big deal.
Why am I showing all y'all tricks and all that? No. That's no. Heck no.
Or I guess for me it's different as the
I give them a little bit just to leave them wanting more and then never talk to them again. Oh my God.
Yeah, no. I can at least say with me that's something that I'm consistent with. I never let up without it. That don't even make sense to me. And it makes the experience because I just know, again, start going back around to me being alone, knowing what it feels like. So that's something that I would want to give to every single person.
Okay. Now I get that. At least you, you know, you go based off of your experience.
Girl, guys are different.
Guys are very different. Guys, I think most guys, they don't know what they like until someone actually shows them.
Hell no. Mm-hmm. They don't know shit.
Most heterosexual men do not know.
All, but definitely
a good portion.
Don't know shit about shit.
And on that note.
What's your relationship status?
Okay, so over the years, like your dating experience, I'm not sure how many people you've dated, and I'm not just speaking solely on relationships, but just people in general. Mm-hmm. Have you ever dated or talked to someone who was dealing with a mental illness?
Yes. I have several different, I have a couple different experiences. I've talked to someone who was bipolar, and I've also talked to someone who was bulimic.
Okay. So, with either of those, you don't have to speak on both of them, but with either of those mental illnesses and the people that you were just, were you dealing with, how did you handle being in the relationship, like the prospective relationship with them?
I was very young with both of these relationships, under 21, but was I under 21? Maybe not under 21, but I was still young. Nigga, let's just say under 30. I can say that now, under 30. but far as, just dealing with it, with either one, it was about doing the research to figure out more about what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
To see if there is any way that I can help in any avenue. And then I do also understand that those are still diseases and it's not like I can do everything.
Okay.
It was really difficult at a point. Not difficult where I wanted to give up, but it was just difficult at one point dealing with one of them, just because they would leave out and not say that they're going to do what they're about to do and then go do it and come back like it didn't get done. And I would have to like try to talk to them and figure out what happened just to get to the issue.
Okay. They were
still hiding it.
So, and the, like, did you help them get help, or did they, or did you allow them to process their internal battle alone, or what, did they receive you wanting to help them?
She did not receive me trying to help. Didn't last that much longer after that, but it had nothing to do with that particular disease. It was for a whole nother reason, but, had I stayed a little bit longer, or had we lasted longer or talked longer or whatever it was, then maybe I would have given more investment into helping. But at that point, it was kind of fleeting. We didn't talk for that long, but we talked long enough to where she told me that, but
okay.
Not long enough to where I was there to make an impact, to be honest with you. But seeing it firsthand was just different. And I can understand people that are living with that and living with people with those problems. Any problems, any mental issues, honestly.
Yeah.
Or diseases.
So I... Yeah, I personally... I have dated and dealt with a few men who were battling something internally. I didn't know exactly what it was, nor did they, because they never actually received the proper help to actually be properly diagnosed.
Right.
But over the stint of time, I say the one person I was dealing with, it really, besides, it really took a toll on us.
Yeah.
And mainly because I'm the type of person, if I see you struggling with something or I see like your moods change, I want to talk to you. I want to know exactly what's wrong.
Right.
I want to know, what can I do to help? But then if you're constantly pushing me away, then I get very reserved. And then the more I'm getting pushed away, the less I start, and me, the less I want to care. So I would say I didn't handle it properly, but that's because I was ignorant of exactly the whole situation. I was ignorant as far as not knowing what was actually going on with my partner at the time.
Right.
So of course I did not get them help because they did not want the help. So I'm like, I didn't want to force them to do something they didn't really want to do. So, I mean, later on they did finally get the help. I don't know if they're still receiving help. And again, I didn't ask exactly what they were diagnosed with. I didn't want to delve too into it because I didn't know exactly if it was very sensitive, if it would put them in a strange place.
Right.
So as I was thinking of this topic, I actually did a little research, and I actually came across two very good articles. One is from the perspective of someone who has a mental illness and is dating someone without a mental illness. And another is an article based on someone who has dated a person with the mental illness and how to go about things. So while reading, I came across a paragraph that spoke about three types of people as far as the well-being partner in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So the first type of people were, some people won't consider your mental illness a health condition.
Right.
And partially, I think I've experienced or seen a lot of people, or even over the years, have known people who don't consider mental illness health conditions. And with those people, I don't think they are the type of people that can actually handle being in a relationship with someone with a mental illness.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because that's the number one thing to, we're not going to say number one thing to understand, but that is an important thing to know, is that it is a health problem. Your mental health is health. Like, that says mental health in there.
Yes.
But, you know, people forget that part.
Yes. So the other type of people were people who may not be able to handle their concerns, meaning their partner's concerns, leading them to end the relationship. And with this, they also disclose that the person who is dealing or who has the mental illness should not wait long to disclose their condition so they can properly give their partner the time to either process or know how they want to go about the relationship further on.
Right.
Which I understood. And the last type of person is a large portion of people will respond to a partner's mental illness with uncertainty or curiosity. And that was big. Because in my mind, I took that as the person who was uncertain or curious is the person who will want to learn more.
Who's willing to help, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And as far as the second, so I think the second article was excellent. Because it gave a whole bunch of tips on how to help your partner go through all of their battles, all of their struggles, how to be there for them, how to be supportive. So the first topic was, it pretty much says dating someone with a mental illness does not mean you have to walk on eggshells. And I think that's big. I think that's the misconception a lot of people have. And I think I also had that as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you think that they're so fragile, when in most cases, they're probably the strongest person you've ever met. Because you don't know how long they actually had to deal with this.
Right.
Exactly. They also said there will be difficulty in the beginning when you two are trying to establish trust between the two of you, which is big.
Yeah, that I can say that was the stage that I experienced, is the difficulty in the beginning to trust me to help, because I was trying to before, you know, we stopped talking, but I didn't get into her. I didn't get through to her at that point yet. Like, she wasn't willing to let me help.
Yeah. And, you know, it's okay. They, again, being, you can't force them.
Right.
To want to do something you want to do for them.
Right. That's a big thing. That's like on in life, period.
Yes.
Shit, you can't force anybody to take the help that you want to give them. That's weird. It's weird. Did I ask for it? All right, then.
Right. And that's the biggest thing. And that's where communication is really big.
Right.
Another portion, which I realized I fell miserably on, but again, I was young. Educate yourself on your partner, on your partner's mental illness. So if they know what their actual condition is, and then maybe they disclose it to you, instead of constantly asking them, you can also educate yourself.
Right. I'm big on that with every single thing. Like, I'm just fucking curious about everything. So if I don't know something, I'm okay with saying I don't know, but I'm about to go find out. Like, I'm one of those people. So even down to my friends, if my friends disclose that they're going through something and I'm not very familiar with, I'll Google it first to see how to help.
Exactly. Just Google the basics, because again, the condition affects people differently. Google the basics and go from there.
Right.
Go from there. They might even find it like very cute, attractive. They might even find it funny. Any way that you could make them feel better, why not do it? Here's a big one that I think goes along with the people who won't consider health conditions a mental issue. I mean, won't consider mental illness a health condition. It says stay away from using hurtful labels. Words like crazy or unstable can be hurtful as well as triggers. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very big. Because people in general like to throw around the word crazy. Yeah. And saying it is like, okay, but what does crazy actually mean? Why are you calling this person crazy? Do you know that, are they actually crazy, or are they actually dealing with something internally, mentally, that they have not gotten the proper help for?
That's crazy to think about. There's probably millions, not probably, there has to be millions of people out here that are going through things that they don't even know that they're going through.
And even like, and it's sad to think about it, but I know it's happened. When you get into an argument with your partner and who has one of these health conditions, do you throw around that word crazy or unstable to trigger them, to make them mad, to hurt them? Don't do that.
And that just, I feel like when people do things like that, they have their own problems to deal with.
Yes.
Because if you are okay with calling someone, for example, that's bipolar crazy, in their most, like, after they had already shared this intimate fact with you that they didn't have to tell you at all, and then for you to throw it in their face like, oh, it's just a novelty, like you're fucking crazy, is bullshit. And it shows that you didn't care about that person any point. If you are even willing to call someone that's going through like that crazy, I don't think that those type of people really cared about the person that they are with. They just cared about the control that they have over the person or what they're getting out of the relationship or what have you. But to treat your partner like that, it's just nonsensical to me.
Exactly. I agree. I agree 100%. That one took me, that one kind of made me feel away. Because I've actually seen people call people who I knew were battling with these issues crazy. And I'm just like, that's not accurate. It's not accurate at all. So another point was, it goes along with after you educate yourself, but ask them questions about their illness. Don't be overbearing, but show them interest. Allow them to be vulnerable. Allowing them to be vulnerable is a major step in furthering your relationship. And I couldn't agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, once you educate yourself and your partner sees that you're, you know, you're showing your interest, they'll want to talk to you more about it. They'll want to share with you more about what they're going through, what they're dealing with at that moment, at that time. Listen to them. You don't have to always ask. Just listen to them. I was shocked to see, to actually see them on this article. Another was promote stability and routine, which I think I learned that over the years. Some illnesses are challenging, but if you can help your partner manage their symptoms, it can go a long way. So find ways to help your partner maintain stability with a daily routine. This type of healthy, regular schedule, it may really help ward off their anxiety attacks or feelings of depression. And that makes sense. Being supportive was another tip. That's the biggest thing. Learn their symptoms. Again, that goes along with educating and asking questions. A big thing that I saw was, don't try to fix them. Do not try to fix them. Yes. You are not, exactly, you are not in that field. You are not a doctor. You don't know what to do, how to do it. So don't try to read things online, read things on Google, and be like, all right, this is what I need to do to help them.
Right.
No.
It's definitely not how it works.
Yep. And a tip inside that, under that one, it says dating someone in therapy or with a mental health problem can come with an assumption that your partner is broken and needs to be fixed. But it is not your responsibility to fix your partner. It is your responsibility to support them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that statement right there, that is for any type of relationship, no matter what the person's going through. If they're not going through anything at all, that's still a fucking fact. Like, I feel like that statement goes a long way.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, people gonna do what they wanna do.
Right, so we have two more. So the second to last one is be patient and understanding. Be patient if your partner is having trouble opening up to you face to face, encourage them to write a letter instead. If they struggle with opening up to anyone, encourage them to see a professional. That just goes along with getting them help, helping them, being supportive of whatever decisions they make as far as their illness goes. Just be there for them. Be there for them. And lastly, a biggie, I think, is probably one of the best portions of this. Don't ignore your needs. I understand wanting to help your partner. Mm-hmm. I understand wanting to be there. But with doing that, you can also get lost in yourself. You can also get lost in what you need. Don't forget about yourself in all of this. Because while doing that, you can mentally exhaust yourself.
You can really lose yourself.
Exactly.
Trying to help somebody else.
Yep. So just remember to practice self-care and establish your wants and needs with your partner. When you are able to both get the support and love you need, your relationship will be a lot stronger. And I thought these two articles alone, like especially the second one, was actually amazing. Really, really good. I read it in full last night. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my God, I need this. So I like bookmarked it. I sent it to myself. I need this because especially like now with the holidays and then of course with this terrible year that we all have experienced, this is very important because people are being lonely. So a lot of people are seeking partnership, relationships, love and things of that nature. But they're also dealing with maybe new illnesses, maybe new health conditions that they've never experienced until this year. So I thought this was very important to one. Yeah. And I thought this was very important to speak on like right now as we're entering the new year, as we're exiting the holiday season. Something to speak on. Yeah, and since we've both been through this, thought it was good to speak on it, on our experiences, and then to reflect on how either we were, you know, either supportive or not supportive back then. And so knowing what you know now, yeah, so I will ask, knowing what you know now in today's world, do you think you will be able to handle a new partner if they divulge to you that they do have a mental health condition?
Yep.
How do you think you will respond to the news?
I would be perfectly fine with it. I would respond by figuring out, if I don't know much about it, then I would do my research. I do my research on everything first before I go ahead and try to do anything else. Like, I find it out for myself and then see how I can help. But the biggest thing that I've learned just in my age is no matter what people are going through, you are not the fucking hero.
Amen.
Like, you're never going to be the hero. I want to say that to everybody. You are never going to be someone else's hero. Okay? I learned that. That it's not going to happen. No matter how much love, no matter how much support, you can be bare feet and pregnant every fucking 9 months. You're never going to be the hero. They still need to do things for themselves. So if somebody's really going through something mentally and they're seeking happiness from you, you're definitely not going to be the hero.
Yes.
Seeking happiness from anyone else is where everyone fails. Everyone that does that fails. Seeking happiness from anyone else is not, you're not going to get nowhere. So trying to give happiness to someone else and hoping that that's all they need to sustain is also not realistic. Like, you're not going to be somebody hero. So that's one thing. Starting there, I understand that I'm not going to save this person's, like, I'm not going to be all extreme, not going to save this person's life, because it could be something that I do that may help them at some point, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to beat myself up if their illness is still there 7 years later.
Agreed.
Like, you do all that you can, and you handle it how you can handle it. And if you really feel like you can't handle it, I also think that people do need to be real about that. No matter how much you think you like or want a person, if they're telling you, hey, I'm schizophrenic.
Right.
If you don't think you can handle that, then do not get in no type of situation or relationship with somebody if you already know in yourself that you don't think you can handle it.
Yes, and here's the thing.
That's where all them bad habits come in, when calling people crazy and stuff like that, because you already weren't ready for what they're going through.
And I think some mental health conditions are harder to deal with. So if your partner or the person you are interested in, if they tell you that, if they divulge to you, like, I've had these issues, or like, it's not easy, believe them, listen to them. They're saying it's not easy. They know.
Right.
It's not going to be easy for you. It's not easy for them. And most times they're not going to press you into being into a relationship or into continuing on with them. But don't pressure them into being in one with you either. Because then when push comes to shove later on, not saying that everybody will, but it might be an instance where you might put it back in their face, and they're just going to look at you and say, I told you, we spoke on this, you wanted to continue, this is what I come with.
Right.
So listen to them in the beginning, in the end, in the middle. Listen to everything. Pay attention to everything.
It's time for the You Ain't Shit playlist.
Okay, so this week for our playlist, I am going to pick Big Mouth by Ruby Rose. It's a new favorite song of mine. I think I've ever listened to Ruby Rose until recently, and that song just spoke to me. It's a really good song, and it's called Big Mouth, one of my favorite shows.
I gotta check her out. I haven't really listened to any of her music, but I'm not opposed to listening. Like, I do want to give her a chance.
Yeah, she's not bad at all.
My first song is going to be Jiggin' by NLE Choppa.
I have to listen to that song.
It's one of his new singles that just came out like recently, sometime this month. I don't know. But it's
new. Okay. Let me get a newbie.
Like, he dropped the album, so this came after the album.
Okay. All right. All right. And my next selection for this week will be Jasmine Sullivan's Pick Up Your Feelings, which I think is me through and through.
I guess I'll get to listen to a song I never would have listened to otherwise, because unpopular opinion alert, I am not a Jasmine fucking Sullivan fan.
That's okay.
But, you know, I don't even want to say it like that, because I'm not saying it like I'm hating on her. She's an amazing singer, amazing talent, and one of the best songwriters of our time. But I'm not interested in her music. I'm just not interested in her music.
And but I'm going to say, I don't like all of her songs, so I'm not the biggest Jasmine Sullivan fan, but I used to give, if I listened to you before, I used to give most of your music a try, and then, you know, like I said, I didn't like that Lost One song that a lot of people were going up for. I'm like, this song is boring. This song is corny. It's just no. But Pick Up Your Feelings was a really good one. I was hesitant to listen to it, but once I heard it, I loved it.
All right. And for my last song, I'm going to put on Ari Lennox, Buss It. That's one of my favorite Ari Lennox songs.
I know you ain't for the movie. Yes, my song. The video is so cute.
Yeah,
I love the video.
But yeah, we're going to add those to the playlist so y'all can jig with us.
Yep, don't forget the playlist. You can listen to it on Apple Music and Spotify. So I believe that is it for this week, y'all. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse if you have it, at Queen Chickenhead.
And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Clubhouse at Breezy the Gent. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at You Ain't Shit Pod, on Instagram at You Ain't Shit Podcast. And do not forget to email us if you have any questions, any stories that you want to share, anything at all. Email us at youaintpodcast@gmail.com.
All right, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Ooh, bitch, you ain't shit.